This is CliffCentral.com.
Hola. Welcome to it. This is the weekly mashup with myself, Dimisha Masha, and the gorgeous
Candace Mama.
You're wearing such interesting shoes today.
Do you think?
Yeah, no, those look like fighting shoes.
You know what? I'm in battle. Yeah? I'm in combat.
I was like, you know what, hey? With your get up today, you could be in one of those chick action flicks. Because have you noticed chick action flicks? Like, okay, I understand that you fit as this action superhero of a chick, whatever, whatever.
Yeah.
But, like, it's a bit impractical for you to go and be jumping and running.
In stilettos.
And yeah, like, it's right. Never going to work.
Never. But you know what's funny? Even these shoes that I'm wearing, they're actually very impractical for a fight.
Yeah.
Only because they're so damn heavy.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, having to lift my legs.
Yeah. You would get
this
your
is actually leg day shoes.
Yeah.
Like, if I'm not going to go to gym and do leg day, these are my shoes I wear.
Those should be post leg day shoes. Like, as a way of proving that you really killed yourself.
What?
You can walk in these. You didn't work hard enough in the gym.
No.
You are playing around. You are messing around in the gym. You should wear these after leg day to prove to yourself how hard you worked in the gym.
Nah, I don't need to be proving such things to myself. Like,
how's your gym life going, Candy?
It's actually slowed down a bit, eh? Like, you know what I realized? When my gym life was at its peak, I never, ever got dates. Like, every guy from the gym would just be like, what the F? Like, this chick, though. Like, these who are you training for?
Yeah.
I'm like, for life, biatch.
But that's where you met a lot of guys, though.
Met them, but that's why I didn't last.
Oh, okay.
Because, you know, like, it's all fun and games until a girl, like, can press more than you. Like, on a leg machine.
I mean, honestly, if you're with a guy who can press more than you, Candy, you're not with a real man. I don't care what. Like, I'll tell you something. Every now and again, I work out with my girlfriend.
Yes, yes. I've seen the videos.
Yeah. But I'm like, hell no, I'm not going to let her beat me. Even if I have to die that day. And trust me, every day we work out together, I'm dying.
But that's the thing.
I am dying.
Like, no, you know what I've realized? Like, that is a man's psyche, right? Like, there's no ways on earth I'm going to stop this. So this is how it would usually happen. So I would, like, usually the guys that do ask me out at the gym, they like, assess my training, but they don't actually know how intense I go.
Oh, okay.
So then they'll be like, you should do leg day with me because I'm the man.
Yeah.
And I actually do leg day.
And
you know, finding a man who does leg day is a rare species.
Yeah. So hang on. They tried Conor McGregor you.
Yeah.
they talk all that talk.
Wow.
Until they get in the gym, right?
That's my sore spot, man. That's my sore spot.
So then they get in the ring with you.
And then the thing is, this is what guys do, right? They're like, they tend to be a little condescending. I don't think they want to be, but they tend
to
be.
Can't help it.
So then they'll be like, we'll all start with a 20 on each side. So it's about 40, and the rack itself is 40, so it's 80. Mm. So you put it on, and they'll be like, okay, let's maybe start with 5. So I will follow their routine because I don't want to be that girl, right? And then they'll be like, should I take it? So then they start packing them on, and then I'm like, no, leave it. They're like, are you sure? I'm like, yeah, no, leave it. Let's see how it goes. You know, I don't want to be like, I know how much I can.
So what do you do? What are you trying to say? Your leg press is what? What are you leg pressing?
Oh my gosh.
What's like your heavy lift?
Oh my gosh. Like, I can actually leg press 260.
What?
Yeah.
I got to see this for myself.
Yes, you've got to see it. Exactly.
I would be that guy.
Have you seen? Look at my skinny legs. Like, there's no way.
Let's go, Candace. I want to gym with you.
Exactly.
I want to take you on a leg day.
But that's the thing. Like, you know, you say, like, I don't say it normally because I'm just like,
even I'm like,
it sounds stupid.
Yeah, let's go. Come on.
It sounds stupid.
Yeah.
But then the thing is, I trained with bodybuilders.
Okay.
So I trained with male bodybuilders because I find that, you know, the women I used to train with weren't like, I wasn't.
So what's the secret?
Feeling it.
What's the trick?
Hating to lose. That's what I do. Like, I train
with
people.
So you're dying inside.
Yes.
You're broken.
Yes.
But then
the funny thing is, you get better at it, right?
Okay.
Because it stops breaking you. It just
it's
still an intense press.
I
still
it's
do
no
about
joke.
Six reps, but I mean, you know, that's for me pretty good. Considering that most guys that I've dated can't even do one rep, so it's okay.
You know what?
Shots fired.
It's a day, I guess. One of these days,
yes!
You and I are going to the gym. Okay.
Fantastic.
We'll do your
We can start with whoever's workouts.
Whose workout? Yeah.
We can start with yours. We can start with mine.
All right.
But I feel like
it's a 2-day thing. So
yes,
one day my workout, one day yours.
Okay, but we can't both do leg day on our
workouts. No, it's cool.
Unless we do 1 week, we do you, yeah, your workout, yeah, and then the next week, yeah, we do my workout. Okay. And then we do leg day on both and see.
Mine tends to be like everything in one.
Oh, it's a full
body workout, full body, and it's hard. Mm. It's intense. It's crazy.
Is it a lot of cardio based stuff?
There is some cardio, okay, quite a bit of cardio, mm-hmm, but at the same time, it's like your own body weight. So you probably like, you know, I don't want to say you win because obviously you're lighter and you can handle some of that. And this is a lot of body weight to handle. You know what I mean? Already.
What? I feel like you're already setting me up here. You're setting me up.
We're going to have to do something different. We're going to have to like just change it up a little bit.
Alter it so it's fair.
Yeah.
So we're on even kilter.
Yeah, exactly. You know what I mean? Like, why should I have to carry more body weight? Because like, that's not fair. Like, I know it's mine.
Okay, I won't do anything drastic. I won't do anything extreme because I do extreme-ish sometimes. Okay. Like, I'll put a half a BOSU ball on those platforms, like, you know, the stairs, and then you balance on that, and then you do weight reps. So you do squats on that, and then it helps your core and your...
Yeah, I tried that once. It's not good for my knees.
It's hard.
We can try.
Yeah,
I'm well-balanced.
Okay, good, good. It's old.
But wait.
But I'm the Floyd in this fight.
No, you're not. No, you will never be Floyd. You will never. You lost your rights to ever be. And that's what I wanted to talk about.
Oh my gosh, I
was
so
upset with
inside.
You on the weekend for even
you
ever
upset with me.
Coming out in public.
How dare you?
And how dare you, Candace, and ever declare that Conor McGregor might ever win? How dare you?
Okay, I have to say that I am. Just a slight disclaimer.
Our friendship was on shaky ground.
Okay, slight disclaimer. Mm-hmm. I have a huge crush on Conor McGregor. So for me, love conquered all in
you're
my
like
head.
Ugly Irishman. How low have you fallen?
You know what? I like rough, rugged looking men. What can I say? So he is my like man crush, my celebrity man crush. So between him and Tom Hardy, you know, he's like
he makes Tom Hardy look like he's
Leonardo DiCaprio.
What do you call those people back in the day?
Metrosexual.
He makes him look like a metrosexual. And I know that Conor is more metrosexual than Tom Hardy.
Oh my god. Because
like he gets everything done. Like when you have that much money and you get so much stuff done on you and you still look like that.
Oh my gosh. No. Okay, let's not go to all that. Right, cool. Okay, let's just go to the fight.
Let's forget about it. Mm-hmm.
So I am a huge Conor fan. Like and even way before this boxing thing, even the Floyd declaration happened. Yeah. I was
a fan myself.
You know, him and Ronda
and
Housley, those two were my people.
Floyd.
But I had hope. Like, I just thought, like, this guy's applied mind power so often and he's been so successful at this mind power thing that maybe this is the one. And in my head and in my heart, I actually genuinely thought he was going to win.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, it was a tough Sunday afternoon for you. Huh?
It was I didn't know how tough it was gonna be until everyone just called me to laugh at me. Yeah. Like these people never have airtime any other time except when it's just a call when I say hello, they're like and then people would send me voice notes like just laughing.
Yeah,
and it was just it's heartbreaking.
Cool, that's like that's not cool at all.
Then some people would comment on my Instagram posts.
Yeah, I know I did.
You did.
I know I did. I'm sorry. That was cruel.
Wound didn't even close. It didn't. You guys didn't even give it like five minutes.
No, we couldn't though. Because your guy, your boy, Conor, like talked a lot of smack before the fight.
But that's what we like. The bravado and the, you know, like... He's
but
a
there's
cool
one
dude.
Thing to be bravado, but just to be plain rude is like he's taking it too far.
Okay, he did do so. Okay, the only thing I disagreed with and I had to give him a talking to in my head.
Mm. Yeah. Conor listens to you. If you ever win chocolate.
Yeah. I mean, he likes black women. Yeah, what can I say? And I'd be the first in line. But,
I don't think his little Irish lady is letting him go after this. He's just made 917.
You know what? Devlin deserves him. She held him down when he was still broke on her.
Yeah,
so, So the thing when he pitched up to Floyd Mayweather and he was wearing basketball t-shirt of the guy that Floyd Mayweather's wife had slept with. So he wore that t-shirt and everyone was like, but that's so rude, bro. Like, how are you going to rub it in someone's face? Like, and he was like, I'm not a fan of, I'm not a fan of basketball, but what can I say? And I was like, ooh.
Yeah. Yeah.
Ooh.
Floyd going to beat your ass just for that. Floyd will go to jail for you. You know,
and that was a
you know what?
Match. That
I must say, I'm
match.
Not, I'm, I've, I love Floyd Mayweather and I respect him for the boxer he is. But there have been times when I also wished he was going to be taken off the throne every now and again.
Manny Pacquiao being one?
Yeah, because man, he's my boy, you know. But I've realized that, you know, greatness is greatness and sometimes you just got to, like, let it be.
That's it.
But I think that Connor overstepped in terms of writing checks with his mouth that his body was never going to be able to cash in. You know
I like
what I mean?
That saying.
And he went into a sport that I think a lot of people misunderstand boxing.
Oh yeah, 100%.
And even when I boxed a little bit, there were some guys who I do mixed martial arts, you know, kung fu, and we spar. And I always found it strange. Don't you know how to fight? Just do it like
that's,
this.
No,
it's
but
so
that's
simple.
That's the thing, right? Because I've got a background in both. Mm. And for me, I started in boxing, which was great because boxing gives you stamina that and MMA cannot give you.
And the basics of how to throw a proper punch, you know what I mean?
Yes.
That no other martial arts can actually give you. And one thing that Sivan Gezi said on his post that I loved, and he's a fit guy, and he does boxing. He's like, you'll think you're in shape until you try boxing.
Oh, 100%.
You know what I mean?
Oh my gosh, boxing will take it out of you. Like, if you haven't boxed in a while, have you ever gone into a boxing one-on-one thing and you've been sparring and you've been hitting the bag?
Hell no.
The next, in a few hours, literally, you can't pick up a pen. You can't write.
No.
You're shaking. The first time it happened to me, I was like, oh my God, I got
it. It shocks your whole body.
Yes.
Yeah, you become an old person.
Yes. I was like, I'm fragile.
Muhammad Ali didn't have a disease. He just boxed too much.
Yes, I'm telling you. Yeah. It's crazy. No, it's crazy. No, boxing is, and you must remember that with MMA, it's 5 rounds of 5 minutes in a 25-minute fight. Whereas in boxing, it's 10 minutes of 2 minutes, but it's intense.
3 minutes.
But it's intense.
Because you can't stop. You see, the other
thing
is...
And your body isn't getting a rest.
Yeah.
Because in MMA, if you're grappling someone, you're giving yourself a rest.
You're on the
ground...
getting a breather.
Exactly. Mm, mm, boxing, you're on your feet. You are moving.
So I must say, I wasn't too upset. I think everyone was saying they should have let Floyd go all the way. They should have given Connor a chance to prove himself by not having the fight stopped. But I think there's something we got to remember.
Yeah.
Connor's still a young man.
Yeah.
And he's still got a lot to do.
Oh, yeah.
If Floyd had carried on beating on him and Connor wasn't going down, the damage that he could have done to Connor in the long run, the ref would have been cited for that more than stopping the fight earlier.
Yes. And I think, I'm a huge Conor McGregor fan, as you guys know by now, but I think at the end of the day, I think it is important that the ref pull the card. I mean, Conor's legs gave in on him.
Yeah.
In the last 2 rounds, you could literally see Conor no longer had energy to keep fighting.
Yeah.
He really didn't. I mean, you're not bad when you're, because I mean, in boxing, the first thing they teach is always protect your body and your face. And he couldn't even do that. His arms were by his side.
His face, you know what I mean?
I mean, you know you're tired. Yeah. You're tired.
And from a concussion point of view, you can get concussed from headering a soccer ball. You know what I'm saying?
Wow.
So imagine just getting hit over the head constantly.
And these are high
minutes,
impact,
right? For 2 rounds, that's 6 minutes. High impact. Bang, bang, bang. And the thing with concussion is you can get concussed today and think you're okay.
Yes.
And 10 years later, boom.
And that's the problem. Footballers, boxers, all of these people.
Soccer players.
Really?
Yeah. They're saying now that actually soccer players, because of the headering of the ball, they have a chance as they get older of getting those kind of diseases.
It's crazy.
That rugby players and American football players and everyone else and boxers get.
But it's crazy that you don't actually think about how much you're putting your body on the line. You are literally trading off your money for financial, your body for financial gain
in
a lot of ways.
That's true.
And
look, at 917 million rand to be the loser. I'll take that chance.
It ain't bad.
I will take 17 million rand as my fund for the doctors should I need something extra special done. The other 900 I'm good.
I'm good
this
forever.
This is not like I'm living a nice middle class life, you know.
No.
In
this is I'm a baller.
In a middle class suburb in the West Rand. No.
Yes.
I'm balling.
Around the world, you're international.
I'm international balling.
Yes.
I'm in that estate
you're
around
Dubai
the world.
Balling.
You know what I'm saying? Dubai. Zuma's house is 500 million in Dubai. I've bought his house.
You're balling. Mm. Grace Mugabe's son, 43 million for
it's
a Sandhurst house.
Oh,
nothing. Pocket
that's,
change.
That's one of your
pocket
houses
change.
That sometimes you hear. I have a house in Sandhurst.
Yes.
Oh, snap, I do. Who's living there? Mugabe's children.
Oh.
Okay.
Okay.
Do they pay rates?
Do they even pay rent?
Yeah. Does it even matter?
I didn't even know I had that house.
Speaking of ballers and brawlers. Ballers and brawlers. What do you think of that whole Grace Mugabe thing?
Oh, goodness. You know what? It's been so... there's so many different reports coming out about the same incident, right?
Oh, really? Okay.
So we all know the BASE report, which is obviously...
Let's just say, like,
Grace... Sons are debaucherous.
They're debaucherous, and Grace, the mother, went and beat up these chicks, like, Lidi Febe.
What?
And you're making like, my... Because you know how mothers
are. You're corrupting my child.
Like, these...
We're like, your kids are corrupt, woman.
You know what I'm saying?
Like, could we just get a handle on that shit? You know, it's so funny. Like, so like, I read that story, and I was like, I'm glad I'm not the girl that got hit with an electric cord. Like,
dude,
damn.
I'm so glad you don't hang out with certain people.
Right.
You know,
I mean, I'd be in trouble.
Yeah, you would be in trouble.
Like, it would have been a problem. And that's what I was thinking. I was like, oh my gosh, these girls out here, they see a young kid bawling, and then they're like,
let that be a cautionary tale.
Please.
Like, it's not always okay just because, you know, you're popping bottles with this guy doesn't mean things cannot. It's either his wife or his mother that's going to come after you. In this case, it was the mother. Come on,
and you're
lady.
Not sad. This that's is the truth.
Oh, that's the truth. I think we should all understand that
this could have happened to anybody.
This could have happened to anybody. I think the cautionary tale for me is a guy, a young man.
Yes.
He's got all this money.
I mean, 24.
And he's always partying. Okay.
Jeez.
Right there and then, you have to ask yourself, why are you not studying? Why are you not at
Who
home looking
you?
At your books? Who are you?
Who are you?
And where do you think this is going?
Right? But that's the thing. Like, for me, I'm that girl, right? And some of my girlfriends hate me for it. But I'm that girl who doesn't accept drinks from someone I'm not, like, feeling.
Yeah.
So I'll be at a club or whatever, and I don't care how many bottles
you
send.
You came with a budget, right?
Right. I come with my own budget. Like, I'm not there to drink on your account. Because I know it is not free.
It's not. It's never
like,
free.
It's never free. Like, who are you?
If you didn't budget
where were
to
you
drink
raised?
Moët or Verve that night. Like, you came
don't
there.
Drink it.
Like, you came with, like, maybe two cocktails. That's your max. Then you tap out. That's Tap your two cocktails and a Savannah and go home.
That's
all right, that's all right, go.
And get your ass home.
You know what I mean?
And come this with enough for Uber fare, guys.
You know,
like,
what I mean?
don't be going out broke. Like, and I don't get it. Like, I remember there was this squad of women that I was speaking to, and I thought I'd go out to them and whatever. Then I was like, we can't go out together, because they're like, no, you know, you don't need money to come out. You know, guys, like, well, just... I'm like, first, it's never free.
Never.
Never free.
Never.
Like, as soon as you take your first sip, it is a contract.
Yeah.
It is a contract that you are signing. That is like when Rumpelstiltskin comes to you, right? With a contract. Like, don't worry. It's just, I'm being a nice guy. Next thing you know...
Are you going to remember Rumpelstiltskin's name? If you can't, you're going to be
right?
in trouble.
And it seems
easy. Because that's the contract. What's my name?
It seems easy. And then next thing you know, there you are.
What's my name?
Right?
Rumpelstiltskin is on you going, what's my name?
And now Tabo's like, what is my name?
Yeah,
like,
exactly.
When you were drinking my verb.
You know what I mean?
Wait, what were you thinking was going to happen?
Yeah, like, well, you just think, oh, this guy, he's like a philanthropist of the clubs.
He's Mr. Pop Bottle.
Yeah, he just goes out and he's like, who is in need? Who is thirsty? Let me give them this water of the French.
I'm just a good guy.
I'm just a good guy. I've got like 1,005 for you just to like...
And I don't know
yourself.
You.
I don't know your
I
name.
I don't know you. I've probably got a wife at home.
Yeah.
Like, you know, I'm just here for the day.
Or crazy mother.
But and going back to that story, like, okay, so then the girls are like, no, we did nothing wrong. She just came in and lost her mind. I was like, number one, I mean, I've got a crazy ass mother. I do have a crazy mother, and I know this.
Yeah.
But I also know that my mother, as crazy as she is not just going to come and endanger her reputation on my account for no damn reason.
Yeah.
There's something she saw that made her lose her mind.
Okay.
And by the time she gets back to her senses, she's going to be like, you know, she's probably going to beat me too and be like, how the hell did you end up in that situation?
Yeah.
I'm not justifying what Grace did.
Look, I don't think Grace...
I'm not justifying. No, I don't even
think
they're on the same...
crazy.
Yeah, I don't think they're on the same level of crazy.
Yeah.
But I don't know. Like, the girls are like, we were just chilling, you know, popping bottles. And I'm like, we all know what was going to happen. You guys are in an enclosed area environment drinking. But, you know, it can be assumed.
Yeah. Look, okay, let's go back to the other thing first. And then we'll come back to all of this.
Okay.
This is important. Like, maybe this is a public service announcement.
Yes.
it just wasn't right what Grace did.
No.
Especially during Women's Month.
Yes.
Women abuse must stop. It must come to
even women
to an end.
Women abuse, guys.
Not in my name.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what the other slogans are. But I've run out of them. Like, no. We say no.
No.
And it's just wrong. It's just wrong. But going back now, let's go back to see the story.
Just to put a disclaimer on it, guys, don't be like throwing eggs at us. We disagree with everything Grace did. Don't get us wrong.
Don't get us twisted.
What we are saying is a cautionary tale for women not to end up in this situation, especially young women. You know, don't get caught up by the glitz and the glamour of a man in a club. Don't do it.
I just feel like sometimes we have to be honest as people and say that there are certain things where we don't have to tell you that you shouldn't have been there. You know what I mean? And I'm finding that nowadays, we are being misled, I think, by a lot of people who want to jump behind a slogan for their own fame or getting something, becoming a speaker at women's events, and you're not really a very good speaker anyway, and they jump on these bandwagons, you know. But and it's the same with politics, where you see it, where it's like someone has done something wrong, but because there was a bigger wrong before that, we're always like, it excuses that other wrong.
Yes.
You know, I think wrong is wrong.
Wrong is wrong. Yeah.
And sometimes we just have to be okay with that, without any judgment on anyone.
Mm-hmm.
All I'm going to say is, we have to start understanding that there are things that can be avoided in this life. And let's try and avoid
that. And I think that's
so
important.
I've done a lot of things that are very dangerous.
Yes.
And I've seen the error of my ways, and I've repented, and I'm sorry for what I did. But there were times when I would also go clubbing, and I would leave the clubs very late at night, having drank too much and stuff like that. And then you get upset at the cops for giving you a ticket for driving under the influence.
Yeah.
And you don't realize how wrong that is.
Oh my gosh, yeah.
Putting yourself in certain dangerous situations where in the middle of the night you're in Joburg, this Joburg that is so dangerous. And you're driving around like it's nothing and wondering why you get hijacked.
Except,
you know what I mean?
That's the thing. Like, you know, there's certain things, like you're saying, that can be avoided. Not everything. You don't need to burn your hand on every damn stove, to know that's dangerous, you know. And sometimes people do put themselves. I mean, especially in today's day and age with Uber. I mean, there's so many taxi services that you can use.
Yeah.
You know, there's no excuse for you
to be
driving recklessly and, you know, endangering everyone else, not even
driving
yourself.
Under the influence.
Right. And then there are moments where, I mean, this is for me especially. This is something I always preach to young girls that I speak to and men. So I'm like, please, guys, I understand you want to have a good time. If you're not in the confines of your own home and security, don't get drunk like that. Like, have two, if you know two's your maximum,
your brother's
have two
not
drinks.
There. Like, if you're going to get drunk like that, at least let your mother and your brother be there.
Someone who can protect you. Someone you know has your best interest. Not that girl that you're always partying with who you know is going to leave with some guy. Not that dude that you just met tonight in the club. No, be careful.
Yeah.
Know your limitations. Yeah. Yeah. Know where, you know, when you're too much.
And that's what I would tell my daughter as well growing up. That, you know what? There's certain things that are wrong that no one should do to you. But don't put yourself in a situation where you now come back and say, I was raped.
Mm-hmm.
Because I went out with this friend.
Yes.
There were three of us or four of us, and one of them was a guy friend, whatever. And then we just like got so drunk, and I woke up and there was this guy.
Yeah.
You know? And that wasn't my plan. Because then it also becomes difficult when we now go to court.
Yes.
Because it ends up being one of those cases where it's muddy. We are trying to make sure that justice is done.
Yes.
But half the time, it's never really done properly.
Mm.
Why? Because there are too many questions. Because you see, the thing about court is that it has to be beyond a shadow of a doubt. Right?
Yeah.
So if we put doubt in, and that's what anyone will do when they're trying to save their ass, even if they've done something wrong,
they'll
just put doubt in that whole case. And then
so make it as clean as possible.
And then it's more traumatic for the victim.
Yes.
Because it's a double violation.
Mm.
You've already been violated. Now you seek justice, and the justice system is probably going to let you down as well. On the best day, the justice system would probably let you down.
Yeah.
So make sure that it's on the best day.
Yeah.
You know, don't put yourself in harm's way. And this is not just a thing that I'm saying for women. And I'm saying that, you know, well, you shouldn't have worn the short skirt. That's not what we're saying at all.
No,
you know what I mean?
No.
We're saying there's certain things, whether
like
you're
just
a man or a woman, that
just
you can avoid.
Like, for example, like for me, I think the one thing that I can say beyond a shadow of a doubt is, as women, don't get yourself intoxicated to a point where you cannot, you know, verbalize your own needs. Like, I need to get home. I need to do this. This is what my number is, my emergency number, whatever. And I think that's the saddest thing. Like, I mean, you'll go out to a club and you meet a girl in the bathroom and you're like, do you have friends? Do you have... And that's the thing. That's the reason I actually don't go clubbing.
Stories,
like,
know?
I meet so many... I'm like, I'm always the damn Mother Teresa in the bathroom.
You don't even
have
a good time. You're just trying to organize rides for these
people.
I'm
busy, like, ordering your Uber. I'm doing this. I'm doing that.
Yeah.
I'm calling your boyfriend to come and get you from the club. I'm making sure it's still your boyfriend. I'm like, calling a friend.
He doesn't know you were at the club. You said you were going to a prayer meeting.
You know, and now I'm like, now my night is ruined because, you know, I've got to look after everyone else because I can't leave you there in good conscience and be like, I'm going to have a good time. It's not my problem.
I guess it's about wisdom and discernment. I mean, even for me, when I got hijacked, I understand I really shouldn't have been there.
Yeah.
That part of the world at that time of the night.
Downloading Kendrick Lamar.
Yeah, just chilling. You know, like it ain't
chilling.
No thing. I'm in Sosh and it's dark and it's cool because, you know, I'm going to be okay. Let me just check out this new Kendrick Lamar. No, it wasn't even Kendrick. It was actually
Frank Ocean.
Frank Ocean.
It?
Yeah, it was Frank Ocean. Like, Frank doesn't care.
Yeah, Frank really. Frank didn't like, even you could
send a note. Because I heard
he
what
didn't?
Happened. No, he didn't.
I hope you deleted all his ish off your phone.
I just deleted the new album because it was not worth awesome. Getting hijacked for. Oh, that new album was not.
Shit.
But I should have known better. And I'm old enough to have known better.
Yeah.
And I didn't do better.
Yeah.
So next time I will do better. And I think that's also why I've realized that you also have to act your age. I'm getting to a point now where actually it's okay to say you're too old to be at the club.
To be doing certain
It's okay to say you're just too old to be doing certain things.
Yes.
You know, you're too old to have like more than one girlfriend.
Preach it.
I was going to say
it.
3 or 5. That was my number in my head. I was going to say 5. To have more than 5. Then I thought, that's
you're
just
not
stupid.
Just more than
you know? This is sort of one. Bring it down.
Just the society norm.
Yeah.
One.
Keep it to one. You have enough. You will have enough on your hands to
I'm
deal
telling
with.
You.
You know
I'm
what I mean?
Telling you.
And actually, it's not cool anymore
it
to
isn't.
Be a 42-year-old guy saying, yo, Candace, come check this out.
Yeah.
This is my chick. This is who I'm. This is who I'm banging.
Right.
Like,
and everyone looks at you like, shem.
Like your brother, you know.
Shem.
As young as I'm like, yo, boy, check this out. This is who I'm with right now. This is who I'm.
And
he's like embarrassed.
Like,
he's like, he gets in the car. He's like, why is Tusha saying that?
It's like shame,
weird.
Man.
Yeah, like shame. Why is he just gonna grow up? You know, concentrate on retirement. Maybe a nice retirement annuity.
It's so like, and you know, it's so funny that we're talking about age now. Because I was actually telling someone, I'm like, I'm not even that old. I'm 26, and already I'm at a point where I know there's certain people I can't hang out with anymore.
There's certain boundaries.
I'm like, there's certain boundaries I can't do now. Mm. You know, like, and because now you're getting towards 30.
Clubbing from Wednesday night to Monday night.
No. Pick a weekend day, and then recover, and then be good on Monday, right? Because now your responsibilities are also increasing, and your priorities are changing, right?
They have to.
Right? So, like, even though I'm not dating right now to have, like, a husband or a serious relationship. It's different. It's like, okay, cool, I'll go on dates, but I know that this is when I should get home and this is what I should do. You know, you're responsible in your thinking. You're not just, like, throwing caution to the wind anymore. Like,
but don't you think that is also, like, because everything's about practice. Everything's about setting a habit.
100%.
So it surprises me that we do these things and we say things to each other as a society. Mm-hmm. And we say, no, I mean, Candace, you're young.
You're so young.
Have a good time.
It's so funny until you, like, you have too much of a good time.
Yes.
Then it's like, but why are you being a hoe, though?
Yeah, but you're old enough to know that's not true. Like, you're young, have a good time, but you're old enough to know.
No, I said that, but I didn't actually think you were going to take it there.
Yeah, exactly.
You know.
So I'm like, you're coming up with habits as a young woman because what you really want
100%,
in your life is one day to have a husband, kids, and a family of your own.
Yes.
Right? So if you're not practicing some of those things now, so that when someone comes into your life, suddenly like, oh, I don't know how to deal with this. I'm so used to going clubbing all the time, and I don't know why this relationship is not working.
It, right?
Why do you want me at home? Why are you being so, you're pressurizing
right?
me. You're calling me at odd hours of the morning at like 3 a.m. and asking me where I am when you know I'm out.
Like you met me like this. That's kind of the rhetoric that goes into it, right?
And then we wonder why stuff doesn't work, though.
That's the thing. Like, you know, but this is the irony of this. So a couple of shows ago, when we had the psychic, Jeanette McKenzie in studio, she said a couple of things to me that only resonated with me a while later. And I thought about it and I was like, okay, you know, for me, my mindset, like when I'm between the ages of 20 and 25, even like a couple of weeks ago, in 25,
last month.
Yes. Like my thinking used to be like, if I date someone, I'm dating for marriage. Like I'd never allow myself to go on a date with someone just to get to know them. Like if I'm on a date with you, I'm probably marrying you.
Yeah.
Like by the time I sit down at the table, I've already planned our wedding,
our
kids.
The house you're going to live in. I don't really like Bryanston anymore.
Yes, we've had all this discussion. And then I take it so badly when it ends. And I'm like, no, this is why I'd never date, because, you know, it breaks my heart. And then I'm like, but I miss out all those years just to date for fun and just to be like, let me get to know as many people as possible and see and start actually assessing, what do I like in a guy? What don't I like in a guy? And not just settling, because that's what you end up doing, right? Yeah. When you're so adamant on making something work, you settle for bullshit that you're like, but I knew.
Because you knew on the first date, right? There were serious signs that this is the wrong guy.
Don't
you're
joke.
Like, I don't go on dates just for fun. I'm going on this date to get married.
Can I tell you the funniest thing? I was talking to one of my friends this past weekend, and she was like, "You know what's so funny? He told me on date one. He told me this is what happened." And then when he was like, "Whatever, I'm not going to give it away too much," she thought to herself, "Oh, it means he's responsible." And she's looking back now, she's like, "That doesn't mean he's fucking responsible. If he was responsible, he would have stayed with her ass."
Yeah,
no, now he's my baggage.
Yeah, exactly. I'm like, now he's my problem.
As a woman, we literally repaint what you tell us. Like, if we have expectations, everything you say to us, we can, you can be like, "I've been divorced 3 times. Wow, he knows how to commit."
Yeah.
We don't care that you tried 3 times.
I'm just one from that three. Okay.
Yes, I know, two times. We'll be like, "Wow, Tamisha really knows how to commit." If you say anything like you've got a daughter, wow, he's even responsible.
Meantime, he's just like really bad at this, and he needs to like stop and
take a breath.
Take a breath
and
look at himself, learn from his mistakes. You know.
Yeah. So you see, you have to like change these behaviors before you get into a long-term relationship where you're not prepared for it.
And I realized one thing about life when you talk about that, because now you're talking about something that I want to touch on as well.
Mm-hmm.
The ability to see the mistakes you made.
Oh yeah.
Because it's easy to blame someone else all the time.
Oh please, it's better.
And it feels much better,
right?
Oh,
so much better.
Because then you feel like,
because you're perfect.
Yeah, yeah. But at some point you got to look at yourself and say, it's starting to be like, I'm the one.
Who's the common denominator? Wait a minute.
So what can I do different?
Yes.
And I realize that for me is the biggest sign of strength.
Oh, wonderful.
By saying, okay, there's certain things I'm just going to have to change around here. I've been doing some of this stuff too long. You know, I'm going to have to change some friends. I'm going to have to let go of certain relationships because they were not good for me in that last relationship. And now going forward, I can't bring this friend with me into this next one.
And now
because
hard.
I know how we deal with difficult times. Me and this friend are like, "Friend, you know, when she gives you a hard time, let's go sort it out at the clubs. You know, let's finish this bottle of whiskey together."
The friend that's always waiting for you to like be in a bad space in your relationship to bring other people around.
Yes.
Like they're like, I've got women waiting. Don't stress yourself.
It's like, "Hey friend, it's hard at home. Don't worry. This Friday, come through. Can I list talk?"
Yes.
You're like, "Yes. Woo."
I knew I kept him around for a reason.
He understands me.
No, but it's so true. You have to. You constantly, I feel like as a human being, outside of relationships, you have to constantly be growing and improving yourself, right? But especially when you're getting into a space where now you guys are combining your lives, I think it's so important for you to constantly be assessing. Like, why am I? And sometimes it's not even about you maybe being a problem, but you're attracting the same type of person into your space all the time. And you ask yourself, like, but why am I always dating the same person who looks different?
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like, you experience
sometimes
the same
not even
problems.
That much different.
Right? Exactly. You experience the same problems. You break up for the same reasons. Yeah. You fight about the same shit. And you're you even want to call him the last name because you're like, but you are the same.
Sometimes you make that mistake.
Because it's the same person. So you have to take a breath and be like, why do I keep dating the same person? You know, and fix that and then move forward.
And I think it's about fixing you. Same thing 100%. In your business life, your career life, your job, whatever. You know, a lot of the times it's easy to blame someone. Oh, my last boss, he had a problem.
Ugh.
My last boss, she had an issue. You know,
she had like pull her down syndrome. Like she did not want to see women succeed.
Exactly. Meantime, the problem is there's certain things about yourself and that you have to realize, you know what, this is not working. Maybe my problem is I'm leaning too much on my talent and I'm not leaning, and I'm preaching to myself here.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not leaning on the basics of being successful at what I do, which is pitch up on time.
100%.
You know what? Do the homework like they ask you to do, that you need to do. Do the research. Do whatever you need. Not just be like, but I'm really good at this and I'm black and right now you need more of us and why am I not, you know.
And it's a God-given talent.
So I can do this in my my sleep. I can do this without sleep.
Yes.
And really say to yourself, you know what? I actually messed up that last time. And here's where I messed up. Yes, that person had a problem with me from day one.
But I gave them ample reasons to even have a bigger problem.
Right?
And that's the thing. And I feel like that's where people fail. And the one thing, and this is what drives me nuts about just any people, like, and you know, I don't dislike people generally. I love people. But the one thing, if you want me to dislike you, treat people badly, like look down on people or be unkind.
Man.
Like, you know, like people who walk on set, yeah, on a whatever, on a project, whatever, walk and then they treat people like crap. I'm like, yeah, what the F is wrong,
with you, man?
You don't speak to the waiter or the waitress. Like, I mean, I'm not saying that they need your conversation, but I mean, to say to a waiter, oh, nice, hi, yeah, you know, could I please have this? Just say, please.
What's
don't dictate. You don't dictate to the guy. Like, he's already having a shit ass day. He's had a long day.
I don't like this. Please make it. Just sort it out.
Like, please, like, you know, like, just be nice to people. It does not kill you to be nice. Yeah. And that's what, like, oh my gosh, if you want me to lose my mind.
For me, when I, be rude. The dating thing, I think, yes, that's the most important thing. That's why I actually think people should date at restaurants.
100%.
And go to the best restaurant ever. Because, 100%. You know, when you're at that restaurant and you feel like the man, like, mm-hmm, I'm paying this bill. Mm-hmm. What's up? That's when you can tell, like, how a man really is.
Oh, 100%.
At that restaurant. Because if he's like, yeah, I'm paying for this, and he's starting to act like weird,
yes,
then you know that this guy is what I call a pig. You see,
there's
either a pig or a dog. You see, a pig, if you put something good in front of a pig, in Xhosa they say iagwaiki pudding,
okay,
which means you don't feed a pig
pudding,
okay, because it won't know the difference between pudding and mud.
Wow.
So
yes.
So when a man shows you, or when a woman shows you that they are a pig with other people,
let it go.
You know that sooner or later they will be like that with you.
Oh, 100%.
I would say it's okay to date a dog because you can always train a dog. But I don't know.
No, but I think that's true. And a dog can be loyal, hey?
Yeah.
Like, I mean, dogs are amazing creatures. Like,
yeah.
But you know what the thing is? For me, I always pick up subtle signs, you know, in communication even.
Okay.
So if you're a gentleman, right, it always starts from the point of contact, from the point of communication that we have. Are you going to recommend where we go, or are you going to just leave it all in my hands and then judge where I choose? Because if it's too expensive, you're going to be like, oh, she's a gold digger.
Yeah.
If it's too cheap, you're going to be like, oh, she doesn't value herself.
Yeah,
she doesn't know nice things.
Yeah.
Right?
Which is weird, because as a man, you should take leadership.
Right, exactly. So if you take lead, firstly, by telling me where you want us to go, and if I say, no, sorry, I can't go there because it's far, and I
have, three places,
yes,
in mind,
and then I give you a recommendation. You're like, okay, cool, I'll choose this and whatever. That's great. If you can confirm with me and be like, oh, I made a reservation, I can't wait to see you, that is like, okay, wow, look at this dude, he's really if you don't hound me, and then it gets to point of contact, right? Now you get to the place,
mm-hmm,
and you treat the waitress or the waiter great, and you're a good conversator, you've got me.
Yeah.
But if you're a shitty tipper, and you don't treat the staff right, you'll never hear from me again.
Then,
like, I'm done with you.
You just talk about yourself the whole night. Like,
men tend to, okay,
you know,
can I I used to be that.
I just did a great deal this afternoon.
Can I tell you something? Okay.
$5 million.
This is what I found. Because I used to be one of those hard ass women who'd be like, oh my god.
You're gonna say the other word.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. No, I used to be like one of those women who, like, I mean, I've got that face apparently where on a first date men just want to tell me everything that's ever happened in their existence since they were born.
Like that Mother Teresa face.
Something like that.
You could help if I unload yourself.
I just need to
be vulnerable around you.
And before, I used to be like, nah, fuck, I can't do this. Like, I'm done. Then I'd cut you off. But then I've realized that's what men do to try and, like, impress you, because men, like, you know, are so attached to things and they want to show you, but I could provide for you if I, you know. It's just the balance of it. It's the balance of it. Like, if you don't ask me anything about myself in that entire,
that
I'm
is a problem. Because any guy who doesn't ask you about,
he doesn't care
about. And I'm not talking about what do you do, but what are your interests? What do you like? Like the stupidest things. What kind of music do you listen to? Because that's how I'm getting to know, like, your spirit.
And it doesn't even need to be like that obvious. He could say something like, oh, I heard this song in the car. Have you heard of them? Oh, okay. So what do you listen to? Have you ever heard of this? And it can segue. You don't need to make it an interview, like an interview.
Yeah, yeah,
what's your
yeah.
favorite color?
Okay, yeah.
What food do you like?
Yeah,
you know, and that's where men get it wrong sometimes. I'm like, I'm not here for an interview, so don't interview me.
Mm.
But also, like, you know, show that you're interested in what I have to say, because the men that don't ask you about you are only there for one thing.
Yes.
They're there for your physicality, and that's it. They don't give a damn what you have to say. Oh, no. Okay. So you like,
they don't
like,
want you to talk at that point later on.
Exactly.
Like, don't talk.
Shh. Hush, baby. Don't talk so much.
Yeah.
Anyway, about me again. So I bought a mine.
Yeah. But actually, like, I think that people like that are generally very insecure. Because
100%.
Actually, if you have to be reminding people of what you have, especially materially,
a
lot of the time it means that you yourself are not secure in yourself. Because people who are secure in themselves could have pitched up and only have $100 in their pocket and they're still cool. You know what
100%.
I mean? And people who are not could have $100 million and still be insecure and flaky.
Yeah.
So Maya Angelou says, when someone tells you something about themselves, you've got to believe them.
Yes. And doesn't she also say, when someone shows you who they are, believe them.
Believe them.
Because that's what we do, right? You go in with like rose-colored glasses 6 months in and you're like, but friend, I should have known. He didn't ask me anything about myself. And you're like, but.
You know what I mean?
But.
And I wanted to talk about a particular subject when it comes to relationship, whether it's with a friend or a family member or love, someone that you are in a romantic relationship with, which is a sermon I heard from Chris Hill, which is, hello, my friend Judas. My friend Judas. Mm. And now, if you want to find out if someone's going to betray you, there are a couple of signs that they always give you.
Shush.
One of them is they're never happy for you. Have you ever had that friend or being in that relationship where you're like, oh wow, today I was called by the University of Stellenbosch to come and give a talk, and they're like, oh University of Stellenbosch is alright. A lot of Afrikaans people, though, whatever you're going to talk to them
or
about,
or they say something like, oh nice, yeah, no, I went to University of Stellenbosch once, and you're like,
and I didn't
ask you.
You know,
I didn't ask you.
You know what I mean?
Oh my gosh, that's actually a very good sign. Okay,
so that's
continue.
The sign number one.
Okay, that's one.
The other sign that you should watch out for, this is a major one, that someone is going to betray you one day, is if someone is always telling you gossip about what they heard other people saying
about you. Oh, yes, yes.
If they're
yes.
willing to talk
hurt
to
you.
People
mm-hmm.
who are saying hurtful things about you, they are probably going to be saying hurtful things about you when they leave your presence as well.
Wow. And you know, that's actually a lesson I learned in high school. And I think I heard Iyanna Van Sant say it. Mm. And she said to the person she was counseling that, what do you think they were saying when they were listening to the stuff about you?
Yes.
Because they were clearly accommodating the conversation, because no one can sit there for that long.
Stop right there.
Because it would be like if someone had to say something to me about you, it would be like, look, I'm leaving. Since you guys can't say anything nice and blah, 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 you leave.
Yeah.
You excuse yourself. You don't sit there to listen to every single bad thing. Because you don't have to listen to a sermon to know someone is a bad person,
you know,
to your
mean?
Friend. And then you come to your friend and you're like, look, as I was sitting there, this person, I just think they're a shady character. Don't trust them.
They said this and I said this.
And I left. Mm. You know?
Here's the thing, right? Here's what we do, especially, and I want to talk about relationships, like romantic ones. Because sometimes with friends, we can see these things easier. But you're in a relationship with someone, and your spouse comes to you, or your lover, your partner,
boyfriend, whatever.
Your boyfriend says to you, yeah, babe, hey, you know, like your friend so-and-so, she said this and that about you, and I, you know, and can you believe that that's what they're saying behind your back? Right there and there, you should know that this person is going to say something about you. Here's another example I'll give you. When someone who is in relationship with you allows people to say things about you, like for example, so-and-so said that they saw you at a restaurant with another guy.
Mm.
You know, you're with Demisho and you guys were laughing up a storm, having a good time. What's up with that?
Mm.
If someone is willing to listen
to
a
someone
friend's
disrespect
opinion,
you,
basically saying that you're a hoe.
Mm.
Then, right there and there, you should know that that person
is
not for you. Because we do that in relationships.
We do.
And we accommodate because we're like, oh, you know, I remember I didn't really say, because I said we were going to go and, you know, we're doing a show. And then afterwards we went out for lunch, but I didn't tell him. And
it may have been construed as.
And maybe he's got a point, you know, because we were having good times. And maybe I should be more professional next time we go out, because really, we're just colleagues. Why do you have somebody checking up on your partner?
Mm-hmm.
And in fact, the first thing you should say to someone is say, hang on, I didn't ask you to be my partner's detective. When did I give you the job to go out there and look if my partner is about to cheat on me or cheat?
Exactly.
How do you even know? Why are you
bringing
this to me?
And why didn't you go speak to the partner?
If
you saw my partner, why didn't you go? Because that's for me, right? So if I see like someone, a friend of mine's boyfriend or whatever, with someone else, I'll go up to them. I'm not shady. I'm not going to try and take undercover pictures and try and break up your happy home. I'm going to go assess the situation for my damn self. I'm going to go there. I'm going to be like, hey, Paul, how are you doing? Oh, hi. And I'll meet the person.
Because what will Paul say? Hey, Candy, how are you doing?
Exactly.
This is so-and-so.
And it's his demeanor that will tell you.
Yeah.
Right? It's his demeanor. If he's like, oh my God, Candace, did not mean to see you here.
Yeah.
What are you doing in this? And he refuses to acknowledge the person there. You know something shady is going on. But most of the time, time, funny enough, nothing shady is going on. Paul will be like, oh, this is Sarah, my colleague. Sarah, this is Candace, yeah, my girlfriend's, yeah, you know, best friend or whatever. And you're like, okay, cool. And you keep it going. And I mean, in conversation, you can say to your friend, oh, I bumped into, you know, your partner, whatever, and you keep it moving. You know what I'm saying? So I get that. I can completely get.
Here's the last one.
Okay.
The people who are going to betray you one day secretly actually want to be you. So everything that you do and everything that you're good at, yes, they will always try to be like, but you know, I could do that if I wanted to, but you know, I don't really like speaking to large groups, but if I wanted to, I could like be a speaker like tomorrow, man. It's not a big deal. That is whole thing.
Careers like yours, at least they're not as taxing, whereas my career, it's just challenging. You're like,
you know what I mean?
The shade.
Yeah. Oh, you know, I really would have bought those shoes. It's just, I mean, they're not really my style.
They just look so cheap.
Or I wouldn't have paid that much for that car.
You know what? I find that it's so difficult in female relationships and female friendships, right? Because of the way I look and my hair and whatever, I, you know, when I walk into places, usually I get attention, right? And I do it, obviously, intentionally, because, I mean, no one has green hair and doesn't expect someone to look.
Yeah.
But
green hair is not something that happens for black people.
By accident.
Naturally. You're not born with it.
Exactly. Yeah. So, I mean, there'll be times when I'll go out with my friends and then like someone will say at a different table, like they'll pass a remark or, you know, we'll be walking and I'll get a compliment or something. And usually my close girlfriends are like, oh, cool, you know, and they'll keep it moving. Whereas I've been with girlfriends who get so offended, like, oh, wow, they're looking at you, but they can't even, you know, people are just so disrespectful. It's not even you. This is what one of these girls that I thought was my friend said to me. She said, you know what? It's not even really you. I think it's just, you know, the environment and the lighting, really. I was like, the environment and the light, but you were in the same environment and lighting.
Yeah, and that's what came to me.
Like, what's wrong with
you? Why do you always got to find something like to bring me down on? You know what I mean?
I've got to tell you something. So I met this person, right? This dude. And I sent a picture like to my friends because that's what women do, right? Like, oh my gosh, look at this guy, we chatting. And then one of my friends goes, wow, you're really confident, eh? So I'm like, huh? You know, because that was not the response I wanted. The response I wanted was like, oh, he's hot, or no, he's not, or whatever. Yeah. Then she's like, no, I'd never be comfortable dating a guy that good looking. He's a bit out of your league. I was like,
this is your friend? Wow.
Well, okay. Who I thought was my friend.
Are you still friends?
We are.
What? Ladies, you know what?
No. It's because like I feel like she was going through a bad time. And then she was like, no, it's because I'm not confident.
Wait, was
I'm
that a once-off thing?
She does some shady shit sometimes, but I mean, I get it. I get it's the state of mind she's in at any given moment.
I'm going to ask you another question.
Yes.
Here's the thing, right? People will betray you, don't mind, and literally like taking from you, stealing from you, right? So you have to ask yourself this question with people around you. How much are they willing to always take? And how much are they ever willing to give? So in other words, if you're with someone who's always willing to take, that's not a problem. When it comes to taking time, they're always there. When you have a party and you're picking up a tab, they're there. But the moment you ask for something in return, you just ask for a little thing. Oh, suddenly, oh man, you know, I left my wallet at home. Oh, it's not a convenient time, Candy, for me to come out today and help you with that thing because I've got this thing. Oh, but you know my job is taxing.
Yes.
I can't just be like seeing you every other day when you're going through your problems. That's how you know someone like that's gonna definitely betray you. When they have an issue or when you're giving, they're taking.
Oh yeah.
But when it's time for them to give, there's always a reason why it's a problem.
You know what? I don't have a lot of friends. So that's a good thing. I don't, you know, even at my birthday, you saw like that table are pretty much the people I consider friends. Yes. And
and you were the only leave it there.
But those are literally the people I consider friends. Yeah. Those are my small group of people.
Okay. That sometimes I would better to keep it small.
Right, keep it small because I found that the bigger the group gets, the more the problems, right? Yeah. Because everyone all of a sudden starts having an opinion. And none of my friends actually hang out with one another outside of me.
Yeah.
Very few of them will actually just connect without me there. So that's a good thing for me because I'm like, I don't want y'all because who's the common denominator that is going to start the discussion? And it's going to be like, oh, Candace, da 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 da. No. I don't need
that
kind of
drama. Don't hang out when I'm not here.
Yes.
Hang out. I bring you
I'm
together.
The common denominator and then I separate you.
Yeah.
So, but I've had situations like that where people are willing to take, and you ask for the smallest thing, and it is like they are breaking their back to do it, and you're like,
dude,
when you didn't have a car, I was there. Now that my car broke down, now you can't even be there once.
You know,
and I'm not even asking you. We're going to the same place. I'm just asking you to do a detour past my house so I don't have to Uber.
Just that little 5 minute detour.
Yes.
It's like literally 2 kilometers.
Yes.
You won't even know you lost the petrol.
Or those people will be like, okay, since we're going together, then contribute to petrol. Huh?
Yeah, it's like,
how? We going to
you were going there anyway.
Yes.
If you're going to give, give. If you're not, don't. Like, I contribute to petrol.
I'm that person.
Like the last time you were in my car, I never said, listen, man, you know.
Since
you know this car's got a big engine. You know, I don't have to remind you.
Right.
So please.
Right. Because I'm not that friend. I'm not the friend who asks for petrol, and I don't expect you ask for petrol, but each to their own. That's why you keep your circle small. You keep the drama to a minimum.
Look, I think over the years, I've gotten to a point where I had a very big circle. It happens. You know?
It does happen before you even know it.
Yeah.
People start multiplying.
Yeah. And I must say, success brings a bigger circle.
Of course.
And I'm not trying to say, it doesn't matter how you take it if you're listening to this right now, but success brings a big circle.
Yes.
But not everyone who's in your circle. And that's something to watch out for.
Watch
out for
the snitch.
You can tell how successful you are by how many people want to be in your circle.
That is so true.
Right? So don't
be afraid
of that.
How many are working their way in?
How many are trying to worm their way in? But start to have that discernment when you are successful, because those people are the very same people who will try to bring your success down. They want to take it
because
from
you. They're living from your light, really.
They want to betray you. They want to give you into the hands of those who will kill you. Those who will kill your success, will kill your career, will kill your dreams.
And they want to side with whoever is willing
whoever's
to bring
willing
you
to
down.
Do that, right? Mm-hmm. In the meantime, they'll eat your food.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean?
No, they'll smile with you. Are you kidding me? They will laugh with you. They're the biggest haha in the room. You know?
But that gets to me.
Yes.
It's like you hated me all this time, but you were willing to eat my food?
Like what? Who? Like, what kind are you?
Like, if you don't like me, even when I offer you a tasty meal, just say no, thank you.
No, but you know what the thing is? I respect people who overtly don't like me more than I respect people who fake like me. And I know people who fake like me, which is ironic because they'll always be the ones reaching out and I'll be like, oh, no, thank you. You know, thanks for offering whatever. And I'm always thinking to myself, like, don't you know I see through you? Like, when we were in high school together, you didn't want to be associated with me. You saw me on the news. You see I'm at Cliff Central. You see, like, certain pictures and you're like, hey, I don't mind associating. I don't mind associating with this person. And I'm like, no, bitch, no, sit down.
No, sit down.
Sit down.
That's so cool though.
Sit down.
It makes me think that, you know, I mean, where you are right now, you're at that age, I suppose,
yes,
as well, where you're taking off and the people around you probably aren't at the same level because we all take off at a different pace and blah, blah. And some of those people are going to start suddenly being Candace's biggest fan when they never knew you before.
Yeah, so, but you know what? It's like a saying I read that people would rather like, you know, cheer you on and say, and if you fail, they'll be like, oh, whatever, they're not sure you're on, and if you succeed, then you forget about them. So I mean, it's a catch-22. But you know what? I still believe in the good of humanity. You know, just not in my private circle, but I love everyone. But don't just be coming in here trying to mess up my vibes. I've got good vibes going on.
Yeah,
don't mess up my vibe.
And with that, we're gonna play out with this Steading.
Yes,
by DJ Tira.
Don't forget to be kind to yourself, guys. Bye.
Love you. See you next week.
This is CliffCentral.com.